You know, normal life is underappreciated. Everyday life. We're always looking for breakthroughs or the next big thing, right? We're always looking for that thing around the corner that's going to make us feel complete and make life whole. Normal life, though, it's got a lot going for it. I'm talking about the normalcy of your everyday job. If you're retired, maybe it's the 9 holes of golf you play in the morning, the books you read, the Sudoku you do, the concerts you go to, normal everyday life, grocery shopping, the thing all of us have to do but hate, and we increasingly hate it even more. Life is just life. I want you to take a moment and reflect on the mundanity of your life, the most normal, boring part of your life. I want you to hold that feeling where everything is just moving along. Hold that feeling because it is right there. It's right when you least expect it. Like lightning out of a clear blue sky, it's when you are living your normal life that suddenly something happens. God shows up on the shores of our lives and beckons us to eat of his goodness. In the middle of your everyday life, that's when you are most prepared to be transformed by something new. When our guard is down, and there's a moment of vulnerability, that's when he strikes. That's when he shows up. On a beach that they have pulled their boats onto 1,000 times now has become the site of something so beautiful, something so profound, and yet it happens in the midst of normal everyday life. Jesus was dead. They saw it happen. They saw his body wrecked and they were crushed under despair. But then they saw him resurrected. And you'd think, right? You'd think that that would change everything. But what do? They go back to normal everyday life. They don't go into the fields preaching the resurrected Jesus. They don't go into the synagogues turning over their tables like their master. They just went back to business how it was usual. And it's then, right then, when they chose what they used to do, when they chose what they were comfortable with, when they were settled in the normalcy of their lives as fishers again, when they went back to the things that used to give them meaning, that's when they had this moment of transformation. Here Jesus is, on a shore, but they don't see him, or they don't recognize him, which tells us something, that he looked different than he did when he burst forth from the tomb, and that he looks even more different than he did when he burst into their locked tomb. Jesus is showing up in surprising ways, in ways they don't recognize because they're not prepared to see him on that shore in the midst of their everyday life. Here he is, though. His voice cuts through the haze. His voice calls them to a life of extraordinary power right in the midst of this boat where they're naked. How many of y'all fish naked on the Pamlico? That's not normal, right? Maybe for them it was. They're out there just doing their thing, but they see him and they feel the tug. And Peter says, I can't even wait for the boat to get there. I've got to go. It's always impetuous Peter, right? Within him, something stirred. Within him, something responded to the call coming from that mysterious shore. That shore that promised something beautiful, but something terrifying. It promised transformation. Children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat and you will find some. And they did. And they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. Peter knew in that moment that his life was changed once again. I mean, how many chances is he going to be given to realize that his life was not destined for the normalcy he left behind? It was destined for something else. We know Peter's story, his temper, his fire. He's our patron saint, and I don't know what that says about us. He cut off soldiers' ears when they came to take Jesus. He was prepared to kill for Jesus. This man was a wild one. But we also remember his denial, his shame. We remember his abandonment of Jesus in Jesus' most critical time of need. And not just abandonment, but cursing. See, but Jesus knew all of that too. Jesus remembered the pain that he felt when he looked into Peter's eyes after the cock crow. Jesus remembered what it felt like to be abandoned by the one who was supposed to be his rock. Jesus knew that. He knew his character. He knew who he used to be. Jesus knew all of this and just didn't care. He didn't care about who Peter used to be. He didn't care about what Peter used to do or feel. He didn't care about any of that. He didn't care about what any of the disciples had done. His invitation to eat from his goodness is never dependent on who we have been in the past. So let's get that clear. There is nothing that you have done before this moment that disqualifies you from the goodness of Jesus Christ. Nothing. However, the invitation to eat of his goodness comes with a challenge. That you decide from this moment now you want to be somebody different. And you want to act different, and you want to think different, and you want to feel different, and you want to speak different. That's what grace is dependent on. Not who you were in the past, but who you are going to decide to be right now and tomorrow. That was Peter. Jumping out of the boat, getting there to Jesus, being fed by him, a meal cooked by one who had just been brutalized. And now, what does he want to do? Feed his friends. Oh, but more than feed him, right? More than feed him with fish, he did something else to Peter. I mean, Peter would have lived with that shame forever. He would have felt the abject pain of knowing he denied and left Jesus. He would have lived with that forever, if not for this beach. A beach he had sat on 1,000 times before, with charcoal fires where he had eaten from 1,000 times before. Suddenly, what was normal to him becomes extraordinary. What was normal to him becomes surprising. What was normal becomes a sight for his life to become something new. Right there on that beach, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. 3 times he calls him back to who he is. 3 times he wipes away his denial. 3 times he lifts Peter up from his face in the sand to stand in the sunshine of the Spirit. I mean, look, we look to the cross to know who Jesus is. And we look to the empty tomb to celebrate his power. We tell his parables and we read his 2 great commandments as if that gets us closer to his heart. But here is a moment that captures everything about Jesus. Everything and more. Here is a moment that tells us precisely who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who sees the best in you. Jesus is the one who sees that best and never stops doing what he does to pull it out of you. Jesus is the one who sees your mistakes, your sins, your brokenness, and says, "Baby, I've got it." Jesus is the one who comes alongside you and lifts you up. Jesus is the one who models for you what life can actually look like. You can indeed live a life of hope and goodness and joy and virtue and beauty and compassion, because he calls it out of you. Because he sees it in you, just like he saw it in Peter. Here we are, friends, on our own beach, about to be fed by Jesus in the goodness of this table. Here we are, and a voice is breaking through the great silence of this day, offering you a chance at restoration. Because the truth is, none of you ever betrayed Jesus mere moments before his death. None of you have run away from him naked in the night, too embarrassed to be seen with him. None of you have driven nails through his hands, no matter how many bad sermons have told you that you did just that. So my friends, give yourself the credit you deserve. Because if Peter can become the rock upon which the church was built, just imagine what Jesus Christ can do with you. You who already have a head start on good old St. Peter, you who already have the goodness of Jesus Christ infused into your very body, imagine the possibilities. Imagine the goodness. Imagine the glory. Imagine riding high in the goodness of Jesus Christ. Imagine going out into our city and seeing real change, lives made whole, people set upon a firm foundation. Imagine your life blossoming in ways that you could never imagine. And yet here you are, seeing who you can be. Imagine all those things. Then I dare you to reach out and take them. This goodness, this call, this summons to a new life, a restored life. Well, it's right here. Amen.